You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having seven kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Support for today's show comes from Squarespace. Ready to start your new business? Why wait till the new year to start your plans in action? The future is coming. Make it brighter with Squarespace. With beautiful templates created by world-class designers, Squarespace makes it easy to turn your idea into a new and unique website. And it's all optimized for mobile right out of the box. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. A dream. This is MLK, right?
This is a human dream.
A dream is just a great idea that doesn't have a website yet. Make it reality with Squarespace. Legend. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code AROUND to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, offer code AROUND.
The Around the NFL podcast is heading to the Super Bowl.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast presented by Head & Shoulders. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Ow! Last show in beautiful California before we hop on a plane and fly into the tundra. How about that?
The frozen tundra.
That's Wisconsin, bro. They don't like that.
I'm just trying to warm up to the idea that I'm staring at Dan Hansis wearing a Dan Hansis shirt. A picture of himself on the shirt.
Dan leads the all time using the third person standings on this podcast, 87-2. I don't know who has two. But so wearing your own t-shirt makes sense.
Now, let's clear it up for the audience a little bit. This shirt was a gift from a really talented illustrator. His name is Electric. I call him Electric Alexis Frederick Frost. And he actually sent us some of his children's books that he illustrates that has since become Jack's favorite book ever.
Wow.
So check that out. The book is called, I'll get a plug in there if it's going to come up. Book is called Ogres Away.
Oh, it's big in our home too.
Excellent book. Anyway, he also drew some, what do they call these?
Characterization?
T-shirts?
Caricatures?
It's a caricature.
Of each of us, put it on a t-shirt.
Great.
Yeah, and I'm shooting something a little later today for our Tuesday Super Bowl show, video show that will air. We're taping it Tuesday in Minnesota. We'll air on next Friday, a week from Friday. That's part of my costume, okay?
Okay.
And meanwhile, I'm totally cool with it anyway. I'd wear it anyway. But I did notice something that nobody has mentioned it as they're walking. Matt Harmon, for instance, the fantasy guy, Matt Harmon.
Yeah.
Walked by me, kind of his eyes dropped down, didn't say anything, which means he's like, as he's walking by, he's like, oh, what a dude.
He's judging you.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's you know, you're doing it for a work mandated video role.
It's fine.
So you should not be judged. But if people don't know that, you're going to be heavily judged by at least a few people in the building.
And that's Harmon's move. He's always just judging us quietly. I'm just kidding.
Is that true?
No,
okay. I don't think that's true.
Maybe we'll get Maddie in the offseason on the Around the NFL podcast. Big show today. Again, yes, the last show before we head to Minneapolis for Super Bowl week. We can say Super Bowl week again with no punishment, no trips to the NFL media agony chamber. So we are in the clear. Colleen's still in there, actually. She's a little girl. You wonder how much she could take. I'm concerned that maybe we might have taken this too far.
Something about it. From a human resources side, feels a little off.
Well, no, they're the ones that built that place.
If I know Colleen, she's just napping in there.
Let's hope so. Let's hope it's not the long nap. Today's show, it is Super Bowl week once the calendar turns over. And we're going to do a little Super Bowl week overs and unders. This is – all of us have covered many Super Bowls now, so we kind of know the beats of the week. And we've seen the Patriots more than enough. Jesus Christ. Another week of the Patriots.
Yeah.
This will be the fifth.
Get ready.
This is the fifth Patriots Super Bowl alone that I've covered.
Look at that. How about
ridiculous.
That? Ridiculous. How about that?
It's ridiculous. They're 2-2. So this.
You've covered five Patriots Super Bowls.
Yeah, because my first one that I covered was the first Giants Patriots in 2008, the 2007 season.
You've covered five Super Bowls for your favorite team. I am almost 38 years old, and my team's never played in the Super Bowl in my lifetime. There is a difference.
We've talked about this on the show.
Wes and I covered Bears Patriots in January of 1986, by the way. So we've got you beat.
You guys were out all night. Snowstorms.
Back in the mid-80s.
After we finished our paper route.
Little Genesis, some snowstorms. All right. Today's show. Hit the news, what's going on around the league. We will also, as I said, do the Super Bowl week over-under. And, oh yeah, Kevin Patra, he is in Orlando. You might remember last year, they told Connor Orr, hey, buddy, you're not going to the Super Bowl. We're sending you to the Pro Bowl, which led to the song, this song. A man's man got a mortgage. Drinks the brown stuff and rakes up his foliage. An ex-beat man turned Minot State valet. Connor Orlando today, of course. Kevin Patchett doesn't get his own song, but he will be on today's show. We're going to see what's going on with K-Pat.
Well, and he drew the better straw here because he's going to the Super Bowl directly after this. After
is
a
that
little,
better?
A little.
Well, a lot of travel.
I mean, I don't think Connor was super enthused about the idea that he was going to the Pro Bowl instead of the Super Bowl. That you wouldn't pick that combination.
Yeah, but
both.
What I like about Patra, he's a grumbler. He's going to be annoyed that he's going to have to go to both for a full week and all that. So we'll check in with him, see where he's at.
He might grumble.
Out of all your musical renditions, that one is by far my favorite.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
I mean, it's a little – I don't want to slight Kim DJ, but but the Connor Orlando today is – I don't know. It just strikes me.
I really appreciate that, Wes. All right. Let's get to it. Let's do some news.
If you're going to compete against me, you better be willing to give up your life because I'm giving up mine.
That was the first episode of the Tom versus Time Facebook series.
Handmade for you.
I'm going to watch it because I'm interested just like behind the scenes of Tom Brady. But can we calm down a little bit with the histrionics of that? Like, I'm willing to give up my life?
Yeah, I don't know about the context of that quote, but Jesus complex, anyone?
It's like, what are you really like?
A bit much.
Giving up?
He was saying, and it's a smart point, saying basically everything
Greg swoops in.
Everything you choose to do is essentially choosing not to do something else and vice versa. And he's saying that, you know, you gotta make choices.
So what's he giving up though? Like,
I don't know,
nachos?
Kids, life.
But he very quickly likes to show that he spends all this time with his kids too. He's not completely unbalanced where he's hidden alone, and it's a little condescending to the other human beings that are pro football quarterbacks. And we get it, you're the best, but it's basically putting all of them, you just don't really understand like I do.
Well, how about the rest of us that have
I'll even
careers?
Leave it just to quarterbacks, but sure, the rest of us.
It's very unselfish of him to sacrifice losing football games. That's what he's cut out of.
But I don't doubt that he cuts out more of his life than all of us or most NFL quarterbacks, and is kind of has a one-dimensional life on some not.
But I'm asking
not
you,
totally.
Really, in all seriousness, I'm asking you, what is he really cutting out?
He's not cutting out a life of luxury where he has everything he needs around him. A lot of other people. How about someone working three jobs just to put food on the table? They're not doing what they want to do with their life.
Laziness is something he's cut out of his life. The ability to take like an hour just to do whatever you want and do nothing. He's cut that out.
Just like
certain foods that he would enjoy, he's cut out.
Nachos.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is like the ability to have free time to use it.
He goes to bed early, so
instead of obsessing over being the best football player you could possibly be.
He's like cutting out Fallon, SNL, but you could DVR all that. That's all. I don't know
if he's watching much DVR. It was a very boring first episode. But you can skip ahead to episode two. There was not much, and I'll watch it regardless.
Oh, I'll definitely be watching the whole thing.
But there wasn't much to it.
And here's something that's interesting: Cowboys VP Stephen Jones, son of Jerrah, has not been pulling any punches in the media. When asked about Dez, he was on the Hanging with the Boys podcast, which, Wes, I know you are a subscriber. It's on DallasCowboys.com.
I didn't know it was about the Cowboys.
Hanging with the Boys, bro. He had this to say when asked about Bryant's well-known sideline antics.
You know, the other thing that we all see, it's certainly visible to anyone who watches our games, watches our sideline, is Dez is certainly a fiery guy.
Right, right.
Plays with a lot of emotion, both on and off the field. And sometimes that can be a distraction. It can be a distraction for Dez. It can be a distraction for other teammates. And we just have to, you know, really get our hands around where, when you put all the full body of work together, where that's headed. And, of course, we pay Dez a lot of money. And,
yes.
He knows that. He's aware of it as anybody when he talks to Jerry and myself. Right. And, you know, he knows when you get paid that kind of money, there's high expectations in terms of the productivity, as you mentioned. And so those are all things that we have to look at as a team, as an organization, when we start to put our team together for next year.
Mark, is Dez done in Dallas?
Well, I mean, Dez Bryant made it very clear in probably what were emotional locker room comments late in the season after the Cowboys season was basically kaput, saying, no, I'm not going to take – I'm great. I'm not going to take a pay cut. And he's got a $16.5 million cap hit. And this, to me, feels a little bit like setting the table to say that we understand you aren't the Dez Bryant of old. By the way, some of the baggage that comes with the Dez Bryant experience is still part of what we're dealing with. So – when we're going to ask you to take a pay cut, it's not coming out of nowhere. At the same time, I don't know if Brian will want to do it. How do you pay this guy the third highest among wide receivers going into next season?
The last time he had a 1,000-yard season, Peyton Manning and Colin Kaepernick were good at football.
In a while. And it's kind of annoying because and sad because he was so fun and explosive and he had such a great rapport with Tony Romo, and it simply hasn't translated. I think it's been a combination of two things. The chemistry is not the same with Romo, and then Dez's ability, maybe through injuries and bumps and bruises through the years, it caught up to him.
We're accepting you into the scientist society.
Wow.
Because a year ago or a year and a half ago at this time,
shut up, Greg.
You went out on a limb and said, I don't think Dez is ever going to be the same after that foot surgery. And I cast a sideways glance or two at you and like, where are you getting this? Is this just Zeuser intuition here or what? But it turned out to be dead on.
So I'm the only one not in the science.
You're already in.
I'm already in. Well, that's news to me. I don't think Greg agrees with the idea that either Dan or Mark would be in this little
special. Come down to the lab. It's been getting dusty. There hasn't been a lot of work been getting done there. We need to catch up with the off season coming up.
I like it upstairs, like the kitchen that's right above the steps that lead to the basin, hanging out there. In other news, so we'll see. That's going to be a big story to track.
By the way, this is a thing. It's already happening. Every time Dez Bryant speaks or anyone speaks about Dez Bryant, it is a post on our website. This is the story that no one can unhook themselves from, and this is why I don't enjoy Dez Bryant.
Yeah,
leading total access.
Some skill sets don't age well. His might be one of those. But you know, part of those comments where Stephen Jones, when asked about it, was, you know what Jerry thinks of Jones? He loves him like a son. He really loves Des. So it's almost like Stephen Jones is separating him. Like, yes. Yeah, Dad is just kind of emotionally attached. I guess we might have to just keep paying him. Meanwhile, I looked quickly at the cap numbers. You know, he's due $16.5 million cap number. One of their highest cap numbers next year, $8.9 million for Tony Romo. So that's still hurting them. Next year.
I think Steven and Jarrah are playing a little good cop, bad cop.
I think so, too.
And I don't think Dez Bryant's back.
Ooh.
I think they're – I could see them drafting.
They're building a little paper file here. Yeah. Like, we've been whispering all offseason about
it. In other news, yes, we will be talking with Kevin Patra. He spoke with Le'Veon Bell, who's at the Pro Bowl in Orlando.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's pretty good.
Talk about ATN Insider here.
Intrepid reporter Kevin Patra.
Nice job.
Anyway, he told Patra that he is confident that a long-term deal will get done with the Steelers. And there is, I guess there's been reports that there's some belief that all this talk about Lev, I'm going to sit out a year and the Steelers aren't going to blink, that when everything turns over and toward a new season, he'll be under contract. And that would probably make sense, right?
I love the changing of the guard among NFL insiders here. You've got Peter King on Twitter throwing out speculation that Lev Bell's going to sign with the Raiders. Mm. Everybody's assuming that because he missed the walkthrough, he's not going to be back with the Steelers. And there's Patrick with boots on the ground.
On the ground.
Getting the story.
On the ground.
He's just changing the whole nature of the story. Kevin Patrick is.
Although,
he's shaping it.
You could read between the lines and think maybe Lev Bell's realizing, you know, the Steelers aren't necessarily going to give him everything that he wants, and he has to kind of throw it out there that, I want to be. I want to be.
He's manipulating Kevin Patra?
I mean, no one can do that.
No
That's
one.
True.
Never happened, never will happen. In other news, Josh McCown was at NFL Network. Deeker, who is a fine woman behind the scenes here at the NFL Network, contacted me on our instant messaging client. It's like, you got to get in, say hi to Josh McCown. You got to say, I was like, meh. No, I'm good.
Really?
Tara Deeker.
Tara.
Our very own Jeremy Bergman from downstairs interviewed him, and my first question was, does the hair on Josh McCown, I feel like he could have been, you know, the seventh or eighth person in Mad Men if they were looking for new characters back then. He has an old-like feel to him.
Yeah, he does.
And Bergman,
Ivan Drago.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bergman said that, you know, it was impressive, but if I'm not mistaken, I thought he said it could have used a little bit of gel.
Little product.
A little bit, yes.
Well, he does that post-game, but, you know, he's showing up to NFL
Network. A sharp-looking
guy. Oh, yeah. I mean, his jaw could be like the fifth member of this podcast. That thing's a force of nature.
Anyway, so McCown was on our flagship program on NFL Network, Total Access, and he wants to keep playing, and he'd like it to be with the Jets. Here's what Josh had to say.
Right now, that's how it's looking at this time of the year. I go through those conversations with my family and you know, talk with them through that and pray through that. But, you know, where we're at right now, you know, I'm feeling like I want to play. So I'm looking forward to the next few months, seeing what happens, and, you know, I'll be ready to go.
I'd be surprised if he's back with the Jets the more I think about it, because I really think the Jets are going to come out of this draft and free agency with a new option at quarterback. And, Wes, the other reason I think that is McCown – he played so well before he got hurt last year. Why does he want to be somebody's just like mentor? Can't he get a job somewhere?
No. I think he's a bridge quarterback. I think everyone knows he's a bridge quarterback, and nobody.
But there's a market for bridge quarterbacks.
Yeah, but nobody should trust Josh McCown to play 16 games. He plays with a reckless playing style. He's injured quite a bit, as Mark knows from the Cleveland days. I see him as a guy who makes a ton of sense for the Jets. They have so much respect for him. And this is a draft where a guy like Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen could definitely fall to number six. I don't know if I'm Kirk Cousins, if I want to go to the Jets or somewhere like that, even if I'm free.
There are going to be a lot fewer bridge quarterback opportunities after this draft, I think. And unless some of these teams look at these quarterbacks and say, and this is possible, not ready in year one, so you're going to get the Kirk Cousins, the Alex Smiths. But the Jets, to me, I mean, if they bring back McCown, it better be because they've drafted Baker Mayfield or someone who they want to rest for a year. We talked about this yesterday, Dan.
Yeah.
These teams, the Jets, the Browns, all these QB needy teams, maybe even the Broncos, this is your time. You don't have another, you can't float around with some fill-in-the-blank veteran under center.
I never put anything past the Jets in terms of messing things up, but there seems to be no chance. They'll just be like, oh, Josh, he's our quarterback next year. They kind of did that this year. I think they're going to have a young guy.
Worked out.
Or
if the rest of the, you know.
It actually worked against them if you really want to keep it real.
They almost would need
Played well enough to give them 5 wins when they probably would have been better off winning 2 or 3. But
he played well enough if like the team around him was great, like they could have been a winning team.
A Keenum-esque situation, maybe?
A little bit, yeah.
Speaking of which.
He played that well. And have we even mentioned that John Morton got fired, by the way?
We have not. We didn't talk about
that. Actor there.
That makes it less likely to me that they would bring McCown back. Now, they promoted Jeremy Bates, who's been a quarterback.
Who was his quarterback coach,
but it is a changing of the guard, and it was a surprising firing.
He is 38, and I always say everyone's like, oh, you know, he's not a true 38 because he sat on the bench.
No, he's
like,
38.
He is, because he's as brittle as they come on some level. There's always something happening to him.
He's definitely a true 38. We're talking about a guy who was coaching high school football 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Speaking of Case Keenum, had such a special year with the Vikings. Everything fell apart for that team last Sunday, but still Keenum was one of the great stories of the year. You would think that would lock him in with the Vikings, but... slow your roll, Mark, specifically.
Just stop assuming that, Mark.
Stop being
I will.
So
well, I, you know,
presumptive.
You guys are down in your – the three of you now are all down in the scientist lab. I'm upstairs just throwing darts. So, you know.
Mike Zimmer spoke in his end-of-year press conference when asked if Keenum deserved to be the team's signal caller next year. His response was, quote, "We're going to work through the process." Now, yes, obvious coach speak. Greg, obvious coach speak, but at the same time, don't you think Case Keenum maybe deserves a little bit more than coach speak in that spot? What a year he had.
Yes, but I'm not surprised based on Zimmer's public comments throughout the season, and I'm not surprised based on some not so, you know, reading between the lines comments from insiders throughout the season where they made it clear that Zimmer, I don't know, ever really embraced the idea of Keenum as like a long-term quarterback.
Nor should he.
Right?
He's considered a backup his whole career, and just because...
he's not one to BS.
It was a perfect storm for him with Pat Shurmur as coordinator, great wide receiver core, solid offensive line, solid running game. Everything went as perfectly as it could for Case Keenum. You can't bet $20 million a year on that happening again.
I feel like bad teams, and it's not to downplay what Keenum did this season, you could overreact to one good year on the cusp of a 30-year-old, you know, quarterback campaign and massively overpay him, and then he comes back down to earth with a new coordinator, and you're stuck with that contract.
But didn't we just spend last week having the conversation that it's not fair to call Case Keenum or put him in the category of Nick Foles, because Case Keenum has proven this year that he's an actual player and a guy that's a major reason for their success? I feel like after one loss, now we're willing to knock him back down.
I think it's because we've seen this before with certain quarterbacks. It's in sharp contrast to when Alex Flanagan from NFL Network interviewed John Lynch yesterday about the idea of bringing back Jimmy Garoppolo, which is obviously going to happen. And John Lynch, you know, he's got a quarterback with a contract situation coming up, and there was no hedging the bets. It was like, oh, he wants it. But they found a franchise quarterback, right? And from top to bottom, everyone believes it. I think, as Greg pointed out, with Keenum, there isn't a belief top to bottom. This is the same GM that drafted Teddy Bridgewater, and the same coach was there when they did it. I mean, there are other irons in the fire.
It's complicated because all you need is one team that wants to pay Case Keenum a lot of money.
Well,
and
the Vikings,
in this market, you would think there will be one.
I think the Vikings have more options than Case Keenum has options, especially when Dave Gettleman comes out and says, we're keeping Eli Manning for 2018, so you're not following Pat Shurmur to the Giants. That's one avenue that's closed down. And the Vikings have Sam Bradford and Teddy Bridgewater as options, too.
Lindsay, question.
See.
If I asked you which player in the NFL moved the most merchandise in the NFL shop in the 2017 season, who would you say it was? Who would you guess?
That's a great question.
Do you want a hint?
No. Give it a shot.
Just one hint. It's not Mike Glennon.
I'll give you a hint. It's a quarterback.
I would say Carson Wentz.
You nailed it.
Wow.
Fulton for the win. Carson Wentz was the number one merch mover. That's jerseys and all other articles associated with a player's name and likeness, that according to NFL Shop data, delivered directly to the ATN Insider.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. If you want the truth, go to the Zeus.
Oh, I thought you meant Kevin Pelton.
Hit me up. Hit me up.
There's another third person for the scoreboard. It's up to 87.
I'm literally wearing a shirt with my own picture on it. Inside,
inside, inside. Dan. Kevin Petra.
Loser in the morning. Wentz was the number one seller this season, spanning September 1st through January 18th. He was not the number one mover in terms of who sold in the most states. Tommy Boy Brady sold in 10 states. It was the number one seller, all six New England states, but also New York. A lot of people.
Oh, where he was the number one seller. I would think he was able to sell a jersey in, you know, Wyoming or something. At least one guy.
New York, and like, how could that happen in New York? Look at a map. New York's entire east side borders New England, and it's a bad time for the Jets and the Giants. Well, not so hot either right now.
All these Patriots fans, I would have assumed, have a Tom Brady jersey. Yeah. Or are you buying it for your kids? It's like you're into the second and third generation of Patriots fans just bathing in glory. So you're buying jerseys for the next wave of family members.
That's true.
My son Walker seems to be a Patriots fan. He's definitely getting on board. So nice. I could get him one.
The evil continues.
I love Tom Brady. Not defensive about New York, Greg, but a lot of people don't understand what New York really is, how huge it is, and how much of it could not be further removed from actually like the New York City area.
Sure.
Anyway, also Brady was number one in Indiana, Florida, Hawaii, and those New England states. And Wentz was number one in states ranging from Jersey to Kentucky to North Dakota, where he played ball, I believe, and Montana. He was also number one in the District of Columbia.
Well, president and quarterback are the two most important positions in this country, and Wentz and Brady have better years than the president.
Wow.
All right, that's fair. And some other surprises. This, Greg, these are for you. I know you love these little nugs.
Okay.
Some hot nugs for you right here. Alvin Kamara outsold Drew Brees in Louisiana. Number one, Kamara. Bad news for you, Mark. Antonio Brown, number one in Ohio.
We're going Kamara.
Not Kamara?
Kamara. It's Kamara.
Whatever, guys. Antonio Brown, number one in Ohio, Mark. How about that?
I mean, I can't almost blame. What jersey do you buy as a Browns fan? I thought Myles Garrett would have a chance. But
you got the Bengals, too.
That is pretty amazing. Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey beat out Cam Newton for number one. Hmm. Deshaun Watson, number one in South Carolina.
Well, the rookies have an inherent edge, I suppose.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
But then Brady, doesn't matter. He's in his 18th, 19th.
I mean, he's Tom Brady.
He's Tom Brady. It's true. Anyway, so that's
I love
fun.
Tom Brady.
That's fun. A little merch talk in a big spot. And finally, the XFL is back. Remember the XFL, right?
I watched the opening inaugural game of the XFL in New York City when
it was awful. It was terrible. And
about 5 minutes in, you knew that you had been sold a bill of goods.
What year it was? It was 2001? I remember where I was, too.
2000?
I was college.
It was the 2001. Or spring of 2000, I believe it was.
It launched in 99, like announced. So I think, 2000, the following season.
But here's what's amazing to me. So Vince McMahon, who runs WWE, confirmed this just before our show today on Thursday that he will be relaunching the XFL. He hopes to have the league off the ground by January 2020. My question, and we're going to, again, I'll have to ask Lindsay her thoughts on this. Lindsay, a monster professional wrestling fan. That was a huge disaster 20 years ago. And I know there's a lot of reasons why Vince McMahon, like he thought at the end of the 90s, why it would work. And I know he's changing up the model a little bit. He doesn't want to take on the NFL, but I don't care when you're doing it in the season. You're taking on the NFL. What's going to change this time compared to last time? Lindsay?
Well, I didn't really watch it the first time. I was like the rest of the world where I watched the first one and never cared about it again.
Right.
And, I mean, the one thing that stood out to me in his press conference was that he said he wants to make this all about the fans and listen to the fans, but...
Be careful.
He does a horrible job with that with WWE, and it's almost like he does the exact opposite of what everybody wants in WWE. Now, he did start up a whole new company just to to be able to raise money for this venture, and he says it has absolutely nothing to do with WWE. So I imagine that's the one thing that will be different because they kind of intermixed.
Well, they're not. Yeah, they're not attached at all this time.
Right. So that's the one thing.
Well, if he's running it, though, that's like saying
Well, he said there will be no crossover.
He's the guy who runs the NFL, and he's running this. So he's attached, I guess, is my point.
Right, but he said
that's the most important thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only why is it now? I mean, it's absurd. A lot of absurd things are announced and dove into every month of every year. So, it's happening again. But this is the season where there's a distinct backlash from parts of our country against the NFL. And he's talking about, hey, our players are not going to have, he said, no one with a DUI will be allowed in the XFL. No one with X, Y, and Z. Everything that you can't stand about the NFL, we're going to embrace your voice. And it's a pocket of fans, and it's a rather large pocket in part of this country. Maybe that's where you're hoping it starts with.
You know what? I'm starting to piece this together in real time. He's also a staunch conservative. He's going to lean into the conservative values end of this, the people that have been turned off by the NFL and the anthem. And that's where, like, oh, no thugs with DUIs. He wants to play that type of angle and maybe get traction. I don't know, from Trump America. Maybe that's his power play here.
That's definitely one angle. There's a second angle that, in my opinion, the NFL used to be the vanguard of changing rules to make the product more entertaining up until a few years ago. And now, the last few years, they do not make it more entertaining. The catch rule is a major issue. Instant replay is a major issue. And one of Vince McMahon's goals is to make a two-hour game with an easy catch rule. And to me, that's what this league is going to faceplant. It's absolutely going to faceplant. But the good that can come out of it is forcing the NFL to look in the mirror on some of its bad rules.
Yeah, I think there's always been a possibility and maybe even a need for another football league. Whether it was run by the NFL or not, it doesn't make sense that by far the most popular, and you said, you know, it's a vocal contingent against the NFL this year, ultimately it's still dwarfing everything else on the television dial, actually by a bigger percentage than it ever has, because all scripted programming is down so much. For something that popular, you would think you could have some sort of minor league or developmental league or another thing. But I remember when I worked at Pro Football Talk, we spent like 2 years writing about the build-up to the UFL. I don't know if anyone remembers like the
Josh McCown played in the UFL.
Yeah, Jay Gruden, I believe, was a coach in the UFL. It's like, and then it got there, and no one cared, and nothing ever happened. And listening to McMahon's press conference and what he said, everything is very vague. He really has no plans yet. It's like 8 cities. That's about all he knows. We're going to go listen to the fans, hear what they want, and then figure it out.
I mean, last time what you forget is that it was Dick Ebersol and NBC that partnered directly to put these games on primetime, on real television, and you're not going to have that this time around, at this point at least. But I do like some of the stuff they did. It was a massive disaster, but the way they opened games, there was no kickoff. It was two guys scrambling for the ball.
They got rid of that almost immediately.
But I mean, they tried this stuff right away. And I remember, like, honestly, watching with a bunch of like guys in this bar, because there was a lot of juice around it.
It was around February 2001, a week after.
There you go. Like 8 minutes into the first quarter, we like all just went back to our drinks. Right. And like, it's like, oh, this is a mess.
Well, the hook of it the first time around,
Tommy Maddox played in it.
Was no, this isn't sissy football. It's like, you're going to get killed. No fair catches. You got no kickoff. Scramble for the ball. I think the first scramble, a guy blew out his knee. I mean, it couldn't have been a bigger disaster. And it's a 30 for 30 if you're interested in the history, if you're a little younger and you don't know what the XFL was all about. Check it out.
Johnny Manziel wants to play. He immediately tweeted out.
But he can't. Because
XFL
has a criminal record.
Well, maybe going once you're in, you can't have a DUI. But I'll say that.
Well, if you're already creating.
Why that works, though, you have to get two or three of those glue guys that would make us go watch it. If Johnny Manziel was in the XFL, I would turn on to watch
it. Well, McMahon quickly threw out, like, this will be a home for Tim Tebow if he wants to play. So he knows what he's doing. He's trying to.
He would also, in a heartbeat, bend that rule to get Johnny Manziel into the league.
I was going to say.
Vince McMahon, not known, like, as the backbone of integrity.
I don't know what the rules are. If there is an XFL, if it actually happens, I would bet strongly that Johnny Manziel plays.
Like, Manziel.
Like, how has that not happened?
He would be the face of the league.
He's the MVP. He gets an obvious DUI on the way back from, like, one of the games. There's no way he's going to leave the league. they might even swipe it under the
They've got to get one of those guys almost for every team. Someone that we, a quarterback that we all remember.
That's what they should do. They should have
Kaepernick.
Each team.
Kaepernick.
Each team.
Well, that's not going to fit with
you. Are you kidding me?
With that
no
family.
Way.
No.
He doesn't want anything to do with Kaepernick. No. This league exists because for people who don't like the NFL because of Kaepernick.
Right.
He's trying to say,
introduce you to the concept of pro wrestling.
Right.
You're going to have evil guys and
well,
good guys.
McMahon said, for what it's worth, there will be no politics. No, I'm not getting into politics. And I at least we should stand up, stick up for Colin Kaepernick here. There's no way Colin Kaepernick would ever play in this league in the first place.
Nope.
So let's give him a little credit.
That's true.
What about like RG3 and Ocho Cinco?
Yeah,
that kind of stuff, you get closer where if they want to play and they're not going to get an NFL role.
Ocho Cinco right now could draw like 6 fans to a league.
Oh.
Also, no way. He's got a crazy following on Twitter.
Nobody's watching like a 40-something-year-old Chad Ocho Cinco fumble balls around
it's
the field.
It's got to be the quarterback position.
Also a domestic violence history, so I guess that would
eliminate
it.
It's going forward.
All right, here we go. Moving on. That's what's happening in the news. All right, Super Bowl week, overs and unders. So we're going to throw out some scenarios and offer a over-under, and then we'll go around the room. I'll get it going. Mark was furiously pointing someone else start.
Well, I have an odd one that I think would throw the tone of the game off.
I know how you
well,
work,
we've
Mark.
We've played the
all right.
I know how this goes.
I think the listener would be like, "I've got some XFL reading to catch
any,
up on." If
any
I
of these type of when we play these games, I know never to start with you because yours will always be a lot different. So we warm up to Sessler in these scenarios. I got you. I got your back, buddy.
This part's going into the show, what you just explained.
I got it, baby.
Yeah, I'll throw out a very like straight sort of football one.
Yes.
Dan does one, you know, it's kind of funny.
Like edging away
but
a little
bit.
Well, we didn't
and then
want...
you have something that includes the end of the world.
We did not want to do all football. We talked about that also with this.
It's like
so, right?
Greg or Wes, straight one. Dan's a little irreverent. And then Mark, an asteroid hits the Earth.
It was commanded that we don't dip entirely into football scenarios
commanded.
Here. We can say Super Bowl, but it's not our, you know, only option here.
All right, here we go. All right, why don't we go through our old ways? So why don't you get us going, Greg, with something very close to the vest.
All right, I'll start over.
This is how you know, by the way, we've been doing our show too long.
Over under Thursday night. It's not a numbers thing. Over under Thursday night, we know the status of Rob Gronkowski for the game.
By Thursday of next week.
Thursday night of Super Bowl week.
I'll take the...
We know his status.
We know for sure whether he's playing or not.
So under would be like...
Under would be we know before that.
I'll take the under.
I will too, because if he's actively practicing and he's out of the protocol... He's playing, so I'll take the under.
It's the Patriots. It's a over. Even if he's practicing, they're probably going to list him as questionable.
A lot of times that protocol goes right up until Friday or Saturday. That's why I chose Thursday night.
Yeah.
I mean, then I would go over too because I think the thing are we talking? No, we're talking. The assumption is, oh, it's everyone in the building. It's like, of course he's playing. Like even if they list everyone questionable.
Rap Sheet and Tom Kern will have this by Wednesday.
Oh,
right.
Good Tom Kern well, pop.
Are you saying?
No, I don't think the Patriots are going to say it though.
I'm
we'll
saying
never say
we
it.
Know. We know for sure. If Ian had reported it definitively, that would count. That
we
would,
know.
Oh,
we know. Under.
That's different.
Under.
I'm taking the under.
Okay. So you're coming. Is it Ian specifically, or any
anyone,
insider that
anyone.
We trust?
Anyone.
Anyone we trust.
Kevin Patra.
Yeah, I'll take the under.
Bill Gates.
Right. I mean, yeah.
And he's playing. Come on.
I mean, we hear Zeuser.
Well, yeah. I don't think we
the
know
the ATN insider. But how many players has Zeuser talked to this year? Patra's out there with boots on the ground.
How many have I? And I talk to people behind the scenes.
Okay.
Concussions are tricky. You just don't know. Like you're either cleared or you're not. There's not. You can't fudge it.
Most guys though come back after.
Right, but you never know when it's going to strike
right.
somebody
it's,
funny.
It's tricky for Gronk because he has such like a low baseline of like he generally seems concussed anyhow.
This is a bit.
They're doing the bit. All right, next one. I'll do kind of a straight one, too. Over under. Here we go. Percentage of Eagles fans against the capacity in attendance at US Bank Stadium for Super Bowl 52. I'll set the over under 66.6%.
Well, we'll never get this actual
and
number, but it's a fun topic.
Here we go. Thank you, Greg.
I'm just saying, we're never going to know who's going to decide.
fans going to eyeball
you,
it for
Do you
us.
Feel validated?
The eyeball test. Yeah. Let me just give you a little context. I did some math, nailed it. 67,000 approximately at U.S. Bank Stadium. 66.6% would be about 45K of that 67 Eagles fans. Over, under 45,000 Eagles fans in attendance.
I'm going under because I think you have to remember that a lot of fans aren't going to be fans of either the Patriots or the Eagles.
That's part of it.
A lot of people are just going to go to the Super Bowl. So I'm going to go under for that reason. I do think there will be more Eagles than Patriots by quite a bit.
I'll go under. I think that you're not super far off, but there is a memory of when they were in Arizona and they showed Belichick coming down the tunnel and people went nuts booing him. And I thought, this crowd is so heavy Seahawks right now. It's unbelievable. But then they showed Brady and the place exploded. And there's a lot of neutral fans in there that love Tom Brady. We just heard about the jerseys.
I love Tom Brady.
I'm going under, baby.
I'm going way, way under. I wouldn't even say two-thirds Eagles versus
it'll be total Pats fandom.
No, I would say there'll be more Eagles fans, but it's a huge percentage, which is really neither. I mean, that's got to be a minimum 25-30%, which is neither. And the Patriots fans have showed up. Last year, they certainly, not that the Falcons are a great fan base in terms of having huge numbers, but the Patriots fans have showed up.
When the Falcons went, Falcons fans, and it's not their fault, went utterly quiet for the final third of the game because they were in awe.
The case behind it for me is, at what point has everyone in New England that's wanted to go to a Super Bowl gone? Or,
true.
You know, if you're going to make choices, if you've already gone once or twice, and if you're somebody that loves the Patriots and go to the Super Bowl, you've probably done it by now at least once. Are you going to go to Minneapolis? When you're thinking to yourself, oh, they'll probably be back and I can just shoot down to Atlanta next year, or 2 years from now when they're back again, I'll go see them in Miami. I already saw them twice in the last 12 years.
Fair X factor.
15 years. Meanwhile, the Eagles fans, these people are crazy. I mean, Colleen's insane. Like, this idea that they have this opportunity to win a Super Bowl, I feel like they're going to flood the market. That's why I think that.
And there has been a Patriots fan belief, I think, with the last two, that this is the last one, so we better go get to it. But now I think that's eroded.
Yeah. All right. We're getting closer to Mark's. Wes, you're...
Don't oversell mine. That's a bad way to do it.
Inching our way to Sessler.
Over, under... Think pieces on Ernie Adams, whom David Halberstam called Belichick's Belichick. In a year where situational football and the Patriots go beat everyone at the final buzzer, how many think pieces on Ernie Adams?
And all right, so
give us one.
Like, in terms of where they would be housed on, like, any website anywhere, or like the top 20 football websites potentially?
I would say any national website or Boston Globe, Boston Media.
And would this be television featurettes as
well? Has anyone in this room ever written an Ernie Adams piece? Hasn't someone from around the NFL at one point written an Ernie Adams piece?
There's a definitive piece written by Wright Thompson, I believe, in 2008 or 2009. I think Dan Shaughnessy's written about him. And in both of these pieces, basically no information comes to light because he's that much. He's cloak and dagger. Like, nobody knows what he does. They once put players in Boston once put up a picture of him in a team meeting with the caption, "Does anybody know what this guy does?"
Who is he again?
Wait, you have to give a number, though. You can't just
two.
Say over under.
Oh, he's been Belichick's like tight coaching friend for decades and decades and decades. And
he's on the staff?
He's almost like special projects, and he's been credited with some crazy stuff over the years.
He's also been like he's also been like, in his times away from football, like a masterful hedge fund manager he's a rainmaker who makes people tons of money.
He's the guy Belichick bounces stuff off, and it sounds like during the game he does some game management. Different coaches
he's
have
their
game
analytics
management, guys, and he's one of them.
So what are you putting the over under at
them? I'm setting it at two.
It's probably gonna be way over, I would think. Right?
I'll go over because there's just an insane amount of media out there. And it again, I think it's like, this may be the last time you get a Super Bowl think piece on Ernie Adams. Just be next year, but I'm gonna go
under just based on get the Patriots fans all riled up. I noticed at the NFL.com planning, it's like there's a lot more enthusiasm to write about the Eagles. Feels like a lot more Eagles content coming because everyone's tired of writing about the Patriots.
Well, can you write about the Pats?
Yeah.
And that actually, to me, trends toward writing about Ernie Adams, something different.
Yeah.
I'm going to write three Ernie Adams pieces just
so you can win.
I'm going
I like
under.
It.
I'm going under.
Out of spite.
All right, Mark, you're up.
All right, I've already heard a lot of bitching about the weather from me, but from others too.
Yeah, many.
A lot of people, I think, are just a general concern about what it is that we're flying into. So mine is a weather-based one, and it's the combined tally of how many times the Around the NFL podcast crew, the four of us and Colleen, complains about the weather during Super Bowl week in Minnesota. This includes nitpicks about dangerously low temperatures, wind chill, wind gusts, snowfall, piles of snow on the ground, snow fields, freezing rain, sleet, stepping in Arctic puddles, getting splashed with waves of freezing water, the result of passing cars on the street. This also includes complaints about slipping on icy stairs, slamming one's skull into the godless concrete after a perilous fall on the sidewalk, being hit with snowballs by snickering passerby, being mocked by children in school buses as your work papers blow away in the wind. This includes bemoaning one's lack of proper footwear, verbally wishing one was tucked away in a desert island, bitching about your left foot being wet after stepping into a small stream of gushing wastewater at the corner of Ginger and Oxagon streets. This includes telling everyone around you that you don't believe in the scarf as a fashion statement, but wished you had actually purchased winter wear before flying from Los Angeles, complaining about an Uber that's outrageously 2 minutes away and kind of doing that thing where it spins around on the street, kind of lost on the app while your lips turn purple-blue in a North American wilderness bitten by temperatures just a tad below springtime on Mars, putting the over-under at 110.
Well, that just what you just described sounded like a morning with Mark Sessler. That's Tuesday morning.
Will I be the only one complaining here and there?
Well, at first I was going to ask, does this count on air? But now I realize it's everything. It's everything. It's not on the podcast. Because we should be...
It's when we're walking to from things.
We should have a rule like not saying the word Super Bowl, that we're not allowed to say any of that even once.
That affects my over-under, Greg, so no.
By penalty. But
speak freely.
Off air, it's going to happen a lot. I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go over. I might complain 110 times myself. I'm all skin and bones. I get cold if a breeze blows through this podcast studio.
I mean, I famously have been called the strong and silent type. So
that's true.
I'm going to keep it under. You know, you just deal with it.
See, you guys aren't being pros, though. I'm actually checking the weather. It might be unseasonably warm. You don't know. Let's see.
So it might be 27.
Let's see.
The highs. Oh, the high on Monday is 15.
What?
Low 5. But here's the good news. It's going to be sunny. 15.
I hate sun in that weather.
28.
Be
cloudy. These are the highs. 15, 28, 33, 12, 9. It's going to be a high of 9 on
Friday.
Oh, we've
got some negatives in here for
there's
lows.
There's some lows. Yeah, lows, 15. They're negative. Here's one
and
factor.
On Super Bowl Sunday, 11 degrees.
It is a lot of tunnels and walkways.
Are you kidding me?
We're already complaining.
Yeah. Over.
I just don't want to die.
We're staying out. One underrated factor is we're staying out near where all the press conferences are, where Radio Row is, the Mall of America. We're basically, I have a feeling, only going to go between our small hotel, TGA Fridays, and this mall, which are all within about 100 feet of each other. So we might not even
And yet, at the Combine, when you're only asked to cross one street to get from the downtown Indy tunnel system connected to our hotel and Lucas Oil Stadium, nonstop complaints for that 8 seconds that it takes to cross the street. Nonstop complaining from human beings.
I need some input from the listeners on this one. You have mentioned that it would be a good
pronouns.
Idea. Mark has mentioned that it would be a good idea to wear boots or to bring boots.
I asked someone from Minnesota downstairs, Brooke, her. She's from North Dakotas and Minnesota, all this stuff. She said, "Hell yeah!" She went out and she didn't. She is an LA person. She went out and bought a low level pair of boots. I'm doing the same.
Nice little boot talk in the pod. Can we save it for the boot podcast?
I have like a total hot foot, like wet shoes. Please.
Speaking of
boots on the ground podcast.
Speaking of what Greg was referencing, I'll throw out another one. Number of drinks ingested by the Around the NFL podcast team, including Kevin Patra, who's going to be with us, as we said, from Monday on, at the TGI Fridays establishment connected to our hotel where we're staying. This isn't like, we're going to have a million drinks. No, I want the number. I'm going to set the over-under at 99 and a half.
For the entire week?
Entire week. Now, let me put in, how did I come to this figure? Greg is not going to throw back a ton of drinks. Wes, this is not previous Wes. This is Wes on the mend.
Diminished capacity.
So I'm putting Wes kind of in the Greg territory.
Oh, come on. That's an outrage.
Yeah, like two or three drinks, a night, not going crazy.
That's an insult.
This is insulting. I apologize. I'm not trying to be insulting.
I'll be under that.
And
here comes the insult. You're gonna talk about me as some sort of a workhorse.
Mark's got 90 of them.
No, I think that you and I will probably be in the similar territory.
That seems incredibly low. I'm gonna go over.
I'll go
and
over.
And then Patra will
be help. He'll be helping this one.
So add it up though, and remember. This is specifically at the TGI Fridays.
There could be
other locations where we imbibe.
But we are all planning to spend a lot of time.
I may go under because you're talking about like at least three or four of us having to knock off like five plus a night. Speak for yourself.
I don't want to spend the whole time at TGI Fridays. The mall is right there, and there's a million places right there. We're five feet away.
We're going to be at the Fridays, Greg. I don't understand why
we're locked
spend
in
time
Fridays.
With us.
We're locked in.
You're going to go sit in the food court with the other buddies?
This mall's got everything.
This this Friday only thing, Friday's only thing adds like a David Lynch layer of complexity to the...
Interesting.
I might go under too because if it's only Fridays...
It also, there's at least a 10% chance that you just don't like that Fridays and decide to bag it for the whole
week.
But
we've done some Yelp research.
It seems very very run of the mill.
Yes.
And it's going to be just like every other Fridays.
This could also vault up to 150.
It easily could.
We could find it to be, and this is how I picture it in my mind as an optimist, like it's going to feel like our Cheers.
What if you get in there and it's, hey, we already friends with some waiters and waitresses. Right. They're
Norm!
Yeah. And it's like, this is our place. This is our place. Yes, I'll have a ninth.
This Fridays is getting more free pub than Head and Shoulders has all season.
I'm taking the over.
Is Colleen on our team too?
No, I don't have her on this just because she's going to be staying downtown.
Oh, she's talent.
So, she's true talent. So... she might at some point end up with us, but I don't want
to. I don't see her. Yeah. I don't see her going to Fridays. But
she's not going to be with the unwashed masses where we are. All right,
I had an alcohol related one too, but I will save it.
Go, you know, if you want to keep it rolling,
I'll package it quickly. We don't need to discuss it at length. It's a little bit of a one team versus the other.
Are these? Do you have your little highlights on the text?
Just on the overrunner part.
Do we know Mark? Or do we know no Mark?
Show 3 months away from being canceled. The number of alcoholic drinks Dan and Mark consume.
Interesting.
Minus those imbibed by Wes, Lindsay Fulton, Greg, NFL Media's Mark Brady, a shadowy figure, and Kevin Patra. I'm putting the over under at 20. So that would be what Dan and I do minus...
a math equation.
Yes, the rest.
Okay.
Who are the names?
The others are Wes, Lindsay Fulton, Greg, NFL Media's Mark Brady... and Kevin Patra. So you add it all up. Like,
interesting. I'm going to go under because I'm going to count on Patra actually beating both of you. So then, I mean,
he's a beer drinker
individually.
He's the
winner of that whole group. And then you have the rest of us. We just have to be within 20 of the other one. So I like that. I like this one. I'm going under.
This is running circles around my mind.
Yeah.
I can't even get involved with it. So I'll just
All you need to know is if you want to win, you need to keep
this
drinking nonstop.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
And you will win the over.
This is why some of these prop bets are trouble, you know, in Vegas. You can get some soft lines, they like to say. I think some real wise guys are going to hammer this one, and Mark's going to be cleaned out.
Are we actually betting money?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm a real wild card here.
I think you are.
Body's feeling night and day. I kept up with Mark the other night at the Whaler. I don't know.
I got to meet Pat Daugherty, Roto Pat, on Twitter, my former Roto World
Evan
coworker,
Silva too.
And then Evan Silva, who I have met before, but it was only like the third time.
I tried to explain to my wife, Simone, that I was going out to meet someone named Roto Pat, and it wasn't like it took a little bit of explaining. But
my invite got lost in the mail, I guess?
No, I believe I told you. Come join us.
I got a text from Mark in the Uber. Oh, we're going over to meet up with all.
It was all very last minute. It was supposed
to
be at night.
I found out minutes before.
And then that wasn't going
to
work.
Who reached out to you, Mark?
Someone in this room.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was because I saw you on the way out. It was me.
Oh, who are you? Oh, we were getting lunch.
It was automatically assumed. No, I was going to text you. And
when I went to get lunch that day, Greg was on the phone. And I was like, he was like, oh, yeah, I don't know if Wes is available. I was like, I wonder what he's talking about. I won't worry about it. Probably not too bad.
Oh, no.
It wasn't like a nice thing to do, I would say, to not invite me.
Play the drop.
Well, it wasn't on purpose.
Not on purpose.
Hooray for our plan.
It wasn't a thoughtful thing. Interesting. I'll give you that.
Not thoughtful. Yeah, I would say you probably nailed that. All right, who's up next? I hope you guys had fun, though.
I was out of there. I needed
to. Did you get invited, Lindsay?
Come on, let's be serious. I never get invited to anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So at least I wasn't totally alone, just on this side of the glass.
Well, it certainly wasn't a large party that you weren't invited to.
Oh, yeah.
I did like invite you, by the way.
I appreciated it.
Okay.
It wasn't necessarily like your.
I'm just trying. Everyone's always invited all the time. That's what I assume. I'm never invited to anything because you just assume I'm not going to go.
Okay, Greg. All right.
You're invited to TGI Fridays.
It was a lack of.
I already forgotten. How about this?
Well, it's clearly not.
It's clearly forgotten, not. But noted.
That's
way worse.
Noted is not forgotten.
That's way worse.
Oh. R.I.P. Greg.
Who's up? Greg, you go ahead.
Well, it'll really.
Go ahead, friend.
It'll really come back to haunt me like in 7 years the next time I plan something. All right.
So you plan something once every 7 years
and you didn't
invite me.
We were supposed to go out late night, and then that didn't happen. It changed.
Yeah.
Greg, I would quickly get to your over-under.
But you reached out to Mark?
Mark, I saw on the way out, and it came up, you know? I don't know.
Cool.
I'm not really much of a planner like that. Nah. I have no shame.
Okay. Go ahead, buddy.
It's not a Mrs. Like Dalloway over here.
I was wondering if it was going to come up, and you know, once it came up, I figured I might as well chime in.
Teeth into it.
Yeah,
anybody? It would have only been a matter of time.
It definitely was going to come up.
It definitely occurred
to get it over with now.
It definitely occurred to me as I like left that evening. Oh, well.
And to be clear, and I told Wes this because Wes actually he read the tea leaves and he texted me that night and was like, "Hey, buddy, just giving you a heads up. You know, sorry that." Yeah, you didn't really get invited, but...
Give me a break. Well, then he should have invited
and
you.
And then I replied...
It was Wes's thing as much as anyone.
And then I replied...
I just got thrown under the bus!
And then I replied, I said, I wouldn't have gone anyway, which is true because I had some dad stuff to do. But, you know, would have been nice to be invited.
Yeah, I mean, even if you can't go, it would be nice to know that you were seen as part of the group.
Were you happy to be invited?
I was excited to meet Evan and Roto Pat.
Yeah, I would have loved to meet them, too. Or at least had the option.
They delivered on. They delivered fully. They asked you about you many times. Oh. I will give you that.
Oh.
They did ask about you.
All right.
It's a good thing.
Where's Zeuser?
Yeah.
Hey, where was Zeuser?
It's a good thing I'm not as sensitive as this, or else think of all the things I would hold against you all.
Wow.
So I'm about a million different things.
It's a fair point.
So an over-under, Greg. You want
to? Feels like a hard pivot to Nick Foles' over-under interception.
I would suggest you put
one and a half.
I think it's
one and a half turnovers.
It's like Dan's not the only one who's noted things over the years.
Yeah, guess so.
One and a half turnovers for Nick Foles. That's the question.
I feel like the show's over.
In some ways, it is.
I'm going to go under.
One and a half turnovers on Super Bowl Sunday?
Remaining around the NFL podcast left in this world.
Because I think he's going to have a fumble. But they're going to recover it.
Mark's really trying to push it.
Members on this podcast by this show next year, 1.5. Over, under.
Push.
I will take the over. I believe Nick Foles will suck in the Super Bowl.
Mm.
I'll save most of my analysis for the game for the week, but that's what I feel.
Okay.
1.5?
That's according to Greg, yeah.
Turnovers.
I'll go with over. He's still Nick Foles. He's going to turn into a pumpkin at midnight.
Do you feel, Greg, that he's going to play well again?
I think he's played well. I think he played well. He's playing a much easier defense this week than he did last week.
Yeah, not quite as easy as the Raiders' defense, in which he was like 0 for 14 on third downs.
That game's ancient history, right?
What do you got, Wes?
So was last week's.
You got anything else?
One more over-under?
Yeah, if you got it.
All right. Over-under meetups with podcast fans.
Mm.
Ooh.
Put you on the spot, baby. I'm going one. I'm willing to do.
I will go.
However many.
I mean, in terms of it, like not just like randomly.
Like a tweet
someone,
up, like we did in San Francisco.
Yeah, I would go push. I say one. I would strongly. I would personally
certainly
go. I would
set
go
it at half. Set it at half. So either yes or no, right?
I'll go over.
Unless you're doing multiples.
I'll do it.
I'll do three.
Well, we gotta get you to Sunday, Wes. We gotta get you to Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, two of those they have to come to Fridays.
Okay. I have to think about this.
I will do one. One sounds good, like a one organized one. Well, because I think it's easier just to do. We don't have a lot of free nights.
When would this be? We'd have to plan it.
Well, it was it Friday the other time?
It was Friday. It was
Can
Friday
we outsource night? The planning to someone else? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's part of the...
I would say, yeah, in the Mall of America maybe somewhere. How about that? Would that be crazy?
I like that. Yeah.
Greg doesn't seem wild.
TGI Fridays is our enclave. It's our, like...
That's our
layer.
Special little place.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
so,
fair.
So we
I'm going to go under because Hansa said we're never doing that again after the last time. So that's what I'm going with.
I did not say that. I did not say that. It was a little overwhelming the first time, but it was great to see the fans. And since Wes put it on the spot, yeah, I'm in. Count me in.
There we go.
Let's do it. Greg?
You did say that, though. Why are you saying you didn't say that?
I love the bombs being thrown back and forth.
You're invited to, Dan, you're invited.
I don't mind. I mean, I was pretty much on that side of things,
this
too.
This is all the script, too, Greg, hitting out now. Greg, are you going to join us or not?
It depends which night, I guess. Friday night?
Well, we don't know. Up in the air. But yes, late end of the week when your responsibilities are shutting down to some degree.
All right, one more, Mark. Take us home.
All right.
Please, get us to the end of the show.
This is on the Patriot fan Erica Tamposi front.
Ooh.
The number of Erica-generated Justin Timberlake-related tweets, plus the number of times Erica tweets her beloved Amy Schumer drinking the giant glass of white wine, G-off, plus the number of tweets where Erica sends out photos of herself in various Patriots gear asking us to pick which one we like best, plus the number of tweets where Tamposi slams Eagles fans, plus the number of tweets where she mentions Emma VP. Now, for clarity's sake, this over-under count begins Monday morning, and it concludes 1 hour after the Super Bowl to get her little bragging and if they win and all that business, or her outrageous anger. Moreover, these are tweets coming from her official work Twitter account, at Tamposi NFL, not that mysterious L.A. socialite burner account she
That's a weird thing with Erica.
Over-under, I'm putting it 57.
Well, if you follow Erica on Twitter, you know it's crazy. And she tweets dozens of times during any Patriot game. So the Super Bowl, unless she's busy, but I don't imagine she will be, actually. Now I'm thinking about what she'd probably be doing during the game. Maybe she would have some type of work to do, but I think I'm going to say over. I think she's going to be going nuts on Twitter because she's also going to seize the moment. She likes that the show has kind of helped to build a Erica fan base, and she's going to lean into that on Super Bowl Sunday and go nuts with her G-offs.
Fair analysis.
I think there might be 57 G-offs of Amy Schumer drinking wine alone. So I'm going to go over.
Yeah.
Yeah, over feels good.
All right. Casper. Oh, yeah. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time with three mattress models. The original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Not to mention the breathable design helps you sleep cool, regulate your body temp throughout the night, and it's delivered right to your door in a small, how do they do that? Sized box. How'd they do that?
It is mysterious.
With free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. But the best part is that they can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. After all, you spend one-third of your life
in line
sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get 50 bones toward your select mattresses, by visiting casper.com/around. NFL and use around NFL at checkout. That's casper.com/around NFL. Offer code around NFL for 50 bones off your mattress purchase. That's half a rock, to use little Keith Hans's parlance. Terms and conditions apply.
How do they do that?
I don't know, man.
It's amazing.
I'd buy one, find out, see firsthand.
All right, let's get them on the line right now. Last year it was Connor Orr. This year it's Kevin Patra in Hawaii. Actually, well, it's not Hawaii, so let's lose that, Lindsay. Let's get some Orlando. I'm thinking like turn of the millennium, little nu metal.
Orlando's known for nu metal?
Sounds about right.
This feels Florida to me.
This is Florida.
Just a bunch of ugly concrete in the middle of a state.
Damn, what is this?
We might be back there.
Patra.
Owners meeting.
What's up, buddy? Hey. Welcome.
Hey, what's going on?
Back to the Around the NFL podcast. How you doing, pal?
I am doing phenomenal, as always. Right now I'm staring outside my hotel window at two giraffes mowing on some leaves and a bull right off the side deck here.
So you paint the picture where you are exactly. Where is your residence? Where are you staying?
Did you just say you're burning some leaves?
No. Giraffes are eating, mowing down on some leaves. I'm not burning anything.
Okay, that's good.
I am at. I was put up at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
How about that?
A nice Disney resort.
That's cool.
Far away from the players.
You know, it used to be back because Patrick, you've covered a bunch of these going back to the Hawaii days. In the good old days, they'd actually put you in the hotel with the players, and you'd be sharing pool time and daiquiris and talking books with Brown centers.
Alex Mack, he was hanging out?
Yeah, yep. But now they kind of – they is it because of our humble NFL media leanings over the network? What about network talent?
They heard about my discussion with Alex Mack last time, and they wanted to keep all of that to the minimum, I'm sure. They don't want any book talk going on. Jane Slater, the wonderful Jane Slater from NFL Network, is up at the Player Hotel and getting to go to all the after-hour events. They have put me out here in the boondocks. I'm sure if Greg had come in my spot, he'd probably be rooming with Jalen Ramsey. So,
I'd rather be with the drafts.
It actually sounds like a pretty good spot. You should have, went in Jane Slater's luggage. Just anything to get you into the hotel.
That sounds creepy. I don't know if that's the new policy about that sort of thing, Dan.
Yeah, that's a good point, Kev. So what has been the scene there? I know you've been covering the practices. Take us through if someone has never really known how it works to cover a Pro Bowl. What are you doing over there?
Basically, guys are just having fun, mostly goofing off. The most entertaining thing is Sean Payton hired Drew Brees' sons as ball boys. So you got these, three little runts running around, 2 feet tall around mammoths, Jared Goff and such, just switching out the balls. And most of the time, they're just having fun. They talk about getting the terminology right, but most of the time, the players are just messing around with each other, gagging on each other. And it only lasts for about 45 minutes, and then they sign autographs. We talk to them. We chat with the players, that sort of stuff.
Are they in good spirits?
It seems problematic if Kelechi Osemele steamrolls Drew Brees' 6-year-old son. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
One would think so. Today, in fact, it's actually funny. Two of the kids got into wrestling match. Brothers do. One of the older one had the other one in a headlock, and they start almost rolling toward the players that are they're not paying attention. They just took the snap. Drew Brees face back. And Sean Payton went in and swooped them back and yanked them backwards before they got ran over.
Are there any players there, being around these guys that, I don't know if it's either their physique, their makeup, or their personality that it completely changed your opinion of one of these so-called stars?
Physique? Johnny Hecker is a huge man for a punter, by the way.
He is giant.
We saw that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we were saying
that. The Coliseum. We had the same thing. We were on the field at the end of the game, and as he was jogging to the tunnel, it was remarkable what a beast he was.
Yes, he's huge. Andrew Whitworth is another ginormous man, along with Joe Staley. I mean, the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman always strike me as, because, you can't tell from the camera angle, no matter, all 22 regular film, you can't tell how ginormous these guys are until you see them in person.
So you are now going to go, you're not actually covering the game, you're going to stop back in Sugartown, Chicago, and then hop on a plane to get to Minneapolis to do a full week of Super Bowl coverage. So these are busy times for Kevin Patrick coming at you.
It is. It is a busy time. My fiance is not happy about it. I have chores to do. So,
what is the big day, buddy?
Now's the time to leave, though, for a couple weeks. There's no kids involved.
That's true.
But I know, I can imagine that she wouldn't be happy. You get used to a little Kevin Patra. You want it all the time.
Yeah. Get a taste. You want some more.
Yeah.
How about learn to win the power struggle?
The power struggle with the NFL has never won, Mark.
Okay.
So
well,
it's just even.
All right. So here's the good news. Kevin Patra is going to be, like I said, at Super Bowl week. So he's going to be on our Thursday show next week. So we're going to get more Patrick in our lives. And then we could really have a chance, Kevin, to dig into the situation with Nick Shook and some of the whispers that maybe he's been coming for your crown and where you stand on that.
He's got the crown. We can discuss that later. One thing about the Pro Bowl, if anybody's going to watch, my X Factor, Farrell Cooper. That's my X Factor. I think he's been working a lot with the offense. I think that some of the higher profile wide receivers are going to sit out. Punt returner and scoring touchdown as a wide receiver.
Where else are you getting people expect analysis?
Yeah, best return guy in the league and wants to make up for kind of giving away that playoff game.
Get to the desert as quickly as possible. Kevin Patra, thank you so much, buddy, and we will see you. And by the way, you're involved with a very important TGI Friday-related over-under that we will clue you in on once you get to Mini with us.
Bingo.
All right,
will
buddy.
Do.
See ya.
See ya, buddy.
All right, there goes Patra. Before we get out of here, I want to ask another question. You got big plans for the new year?
No, the new year, like upcoming.
Yeah, like 2019.
11 months from now.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. We could all be, who knows what could happen.
All right. Squarespace makes it easy to turn your idea into a unique website, showcase your work, blog or publish content, even sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks. You can customize everything from look and feel to settings and products using beautiful templates created by world-class designers, and there's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code AROUND to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace, baby. All right, so here's the deal. Again, no show this Sunday. It's the first time we don't have a Sunday show since the first week of September because we will be traveling. We will have a Tuesday audio show. We will have a late Thursday audio show and, of course, the big one, the flagship Sunday Super Bowl Sunday night recap show in addition to a video-only show that will air on Friday on NFL.com. So much good stuff coming. Thank you for listening, let's get things going. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Let's go to Minnesota, baby.
Yeah.
Stan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm. The mailman, the old boss, Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. Till Tuesday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.